Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy careful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, let me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of
very next song, number 142. And for those who came, let's stand. And after this song, we'll have a prayer led by Brother Tom.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin sick, especially.
Let the return of their head be thy will. Dear Father, we pray that you be with each one of us today as we sing praise to thy name, touch with thy word, which will benefit our lives and those around us. These things we ask in Christ's name.
Amen.
Be seated. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 591. 591. "'Tis midnight and on all is brown. The star is dim that lately shone. 'Tis midnight in the garden now. The suffering Savior prays alone. 'Tis midnight and from all removed, the Savior wrestles long with fears. Him that disciple whom he loved, he's not his master's grief and tears. 'Tis midnight and for others' guilt, the man of sorrows weeps in blood. Yet he that hath in anguish knelt is not forsaken by his God. 'Tis midnight and from ether plains is born the song that angels know, unheard by mortals are the strains that sweetly soothes the Savior's woe. Reading once again this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come."
Bread represents the body of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, we take this cup full of vine represents the full of the Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. back what my Lord prophesied for her work. Amen.
We have 29 present this morning. Today is August 23rd, 2020, for taking purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our songbooks at number 685, 685. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 95. Earth holds no treasures but perish with using. However precious they be, yet there's a country to which I am going.
Heaven holds all to me.
Heaven holds all to me.
Brighter.
As we talk about God and life, we come today to a lesson regarding modernism and how opposite it is than God's will and God's word. When we talk about modernism, we're talking about a culture or a philosophy that has been adopted by mankind. And through the years, that has been the case of going against the word of God and the will of God. Called modernism because of the philosophy that it has in mind. It desires to please the individual living in the time in which we live. If it's a happy and satisfactory thought that we have in mind, we may judge God to be in that same vein of mind. There are those who believe that if they're happy in life, no matter what practices of life they do, that is God's will for them. That God is that kind of great grandfather who loves us so much that he cannot see anything wrong in the practice of our daily walk of life. And as a result of saying that and teaching that then to children's children, children's children thereafter, modernism has gained its hold in the world in which we live. There are many books that are written and mannerisms that are written, and there are some professors who find themselves in classes telling children as they come into those classes that I want to show you how much there is of foolishness that is in the Bible. Knowing that these young people come from religious background and come from a place that has the Bible in front of them, they will be challenging that idea in front of them because there's foolishness in the Bible, they say. What do we find in the Bible? Well, when we look in the Bible, and there are those who study it and look at the Bible, and they at the beginning of class will raise their hands to say, but what error do you see in the Bible? What's the falsehood that is found written in the pages of the Bible? They'll get away with that at the beginning of class. And there will be a little discussion about certain things that are there. Where did Cain's wife come from? We just don't have that listed in the Bible. But it's not what the Bible says about it. It's what the idea of man is, that where did his wife come from? And that sort of question comes up in mind and is given the major point of emphasis in that class time. Deuteronomy chapter 5 at verse 1. Moses called all of Israel together and said unto them, hearken unto the words of the statutes and judgments that are given in your ears this day. He goes on to say that you may know them and that you may keep them and do them. Here are the statutes and judgments of God. What are they? Well, they said in Psalms 119, verse 174, all thy commandments, Lord, are righteousness. The commandments of the Lord were right ways of doing things. This is the right way of practice in life. And so modernism, attempting to take that away from the scripture itself, has succeeded at being in the parts of so many people in our day and time. They make that application not of what God's word has said about a subject, but what in fact they personally believe about that subject. And their view of God is that he's a great grandfather who agrees and approves anything that is so said and so done. May I ask of you today, what did Paul write about the gospel in Romans 1 and verse 16? The inspired apostle wrote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he goes on to say in verse 17, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God. What was righteousness back there in Psalms 119? All the commandments of God are righteousness. And thus he's talking about the commandments of God here. And he's talking about the gospel and how that it saves mankind. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then he goes on in verse 18 to say that there are those in the world who are unrighteous in their practice, not doing what's right, not obeying the word of the Lord to do what's right. And they're not doing what's right. He says regarding them that they practice unrighteousness and they even get to the degree where they bring the truth into unrighteousness. It's not truth anymore. It's unrighteousness. Thus when Jesus said, I am the way in John 14 verse 6, the truth and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He was not. Jesus was just a mere man, and the ideals of his life were just ideals that he particularly practiced and particularly taught, and that it's not the way for us all to follow. When Jesus says to the people in John 12 at verses 48 and 49, he that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that will judge him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You come on a day that we're talking about God and life and how that modernism has taken up with the philosophies of life. And as a result, instead of looking to God's word and seeing what Jesus said about how to live and how to behave and how to do, one has given a re-identification of God, and as a result, thinking of Him only from the standpoint of how I like to do life and what I want to say in life and what I want to do in life. I'm not going to behave His statutes and judgments, as Moses wrote to the people there and said to the people there in Deuteronomy 5. But I'm going to go with the idea of my own way. When Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Coming to believe in the Bible, the Word of God, we find ourselves believing that which is righteousness, that which is right conduct. That's what David said in Psalms 119. And that's what he says men will go off into unrighteousness in Romans 1 and verse 18. He says they won't abide in that gospel. They'll go off to unrighteous conduct. And they'll even bring the truth into unrighteousness. Those things that are true and right will be acted on as though they're unrighteous conduct. I'll not practice that way of life. I'll not believe in Him that He said, you must believe that I am He or you would die in your sins in John 8 at 24. He says, I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He said in Matthew 10 at verse 32, he that will confess me before men, him will I confess also before Father who is in heaven. And he that denies me before men, I will deny him before the Father who is in heaven. What did Jesus want us to do to believe in Him? What did He want us to do to repent of our sins? What did He want us to do to confess Him openly before men? And I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. And then Jesus, before He left this earth, commissioned His disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be condemned. Notice in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, He's saying that you need to go and teach this gospel to others. As you go and teach this gospel to others, you teach them to believe in Me. That's important. Hebrews 11 verse 6 will say, without faith it is impossible to please God. What can we do? How can we live? How can we be without faith? It is impossible to please God. So it is with that faith I believe in Him. I believe what He says, and I want to practice what He says in repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ as He's commanded to be done. Thus on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the people said, men and brethren, what shall we do? When they were told, you have crucified and slain the Lord of hosts. Jesus was not just a man that you crucified. He was the Lord that you crucified. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You change your mind, you change your way of thinking about this, you repent. And you be baptized for the remission of your sins. They that heard His word, gladly received His word, were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2 and verse 47 says that they were added unto the body of Christ, the church of our Lord, on that day. In that relationship with the Lord, they were to go forth and teach others, as Paul told Timothy to do. He said in Timothy's words, he said, these things you've heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. All the way down the stream of time, someone has taught someone who's taught someone who's taught someone who's taught your folks, my folks. And they looked in the Bible. My mom and dad daily looked in the Bible, looked to see what was being said, looked to see the teaching that was given there. And not only the ideas of being taught for salvation were given to them in regard to one's believing in Christ and repenting of sin, confessing faith in Him and being baptized into Him, but also the teaching that Jesus gave regarding how to live and how to behave. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things I've just talked about, these things I've talked about, food, clothes, and shelter that you'll have in life, these things will be added unto you." If you do what? If you will be a person who finds himself seeking first the kingdom of God. If we seek first to do the things of the kingdom of God, advance the kingdom of God, what will we have? A modernistic view of life? A redefinition of who God is? A realignment of what His Word really means? Or will we have a way of life that identifies the God of heaven and identifies His Word? This God of heaven is described in Hebrews chapter 3 and at verse 4 in the following words. "Every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God." The scripture of the teaching about God is that He was the Creator. And that's what the first verse of the Bible told us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In creating the heavens and the earth, God set forth a way in life of which mankind could honor and could be. And as a result of that, when man came upon the earth, the teaching of the Lord's Word and the Lord's will was the righteousness he was to learn and do, Moses said in Deuteronomy 5 at 1. And they were to practice the righteous conduct of God's commandments of Psalm 119. Thus they were to be people who followed the way of the Lord. As we talk about the way of the Lord and the word of the Lord today, let me ask you, do we do the things that the word of the Lord says for us to do? As we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we find a way. We seek a way. We find a way of seeding today that saves us from having a disease that is going through rampant through the world and hurting people greatly, even threatening their lives, taking the lives of so many people. But as a result of the practice that we do and the kind of activities that we're engaged in, we find ourselves still worshiping God in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, it is noted regarding the Father, He seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Notice that truth is important. That word of God is important, because it holds the righteousness of God. And that's the practice that we're to make in life as we go forward. We're to be people who seek first the kingdom. But also in Matthew chapter 18, twice it is noted there how we're to love our fellow man. Loving our fellow man, we're not to be people who hold a grudge. He tells us regarding those who hold a grudge against their fellow man and a grudge all through life, that they will be denied before the Father who's in heaven. If we find ourselves doing that way of life, we leave the idea of salvation. We leave it behind. We do not seek to be the people that God has told us to be. We have a hatred for others. A hatred because of things that they've done to others, or hatred regarding the things that they've done to us, perhaps. But the idea of holding our ways against them, as Jesus says plainly, should not be done. If you forgive not others their trespasses against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Jesus noted that. It's important to do. That's the teaching of the Lord. And there are those that have come forth and confessed their faith in the Lord, been baptized into Christ, and they continue to live on and be a part of worship of the church. They seek first the kingdom of God in that way. but they carry with them a hatred for someone all through their life. They carry with them a hatred for someone till the day they die. They make statements like, if that person is going to heaven, I don't want to go. And they let J.A. Thornton said regarding that gentleman who told him that one time, you really don't know what you're saying. You really don't want to forgive somebody, and you really want to have that hatred in your heart when you die. And the Lord plainly says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses if you do not from your heart forgive those who trespass against you. Modernism says that's just a bunch of phooey. Modernism says that's not the way to live at all. Modernism says carry that hatred with you all of your life and all of your days. But this, the Bible, the Word of God, the teaching of the Lord, that within it we do not find error, we do not find falsehood stated, we do not find falsehoods done. We find the teaching of God's will and God's way for us. And we can live life in a full way. Those baptized into Christ who put first the kingdom of God and who seek to be people who are doing righteous conduct in life sometimes get off base. And in 1 John, the writing of 1 John chapter 2 and at verse 15, he tells us the following regarding this world in which we live. All that is in the world, not of the Father, but of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride or vainglory of life. These things are not of the Father, but of the world. And he that doeth these things is not pleasing to God. But if we confess our sins, he goes on to say in 1 John 1 at verse 9, if we're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and we are when we are baptized into Christ, we begin to live for Him. We're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, according to 1 John 1, verses 5 and 6. And then in verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, unrighteous thoughts and unrighteous mannerism convince us the thing that we can do is to practice the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Thus, in that practice of life, I'm doing that way of life, but I can come away from that. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even the unrighteous things God will begin to work upon. He'll begin to work upon the places we go where we hear those things and the things that are said and done around us when we hear those things. We'll begin to change a set of friends. We'll begin to alter our time around those things that are unrighteous. And we'll get more success and more success and more success at overcoming unrighteousness. And God is pleased with that way of life and pleased with our doing that. And He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. What a blessing it is. Are you subject to Jesus' invitation today? Have you made your confession of the Lord? Have you repented of sin and been baptized into Christ, begun to live that faithful life for the Lord, putting first the kingdom and forgiving our fellow man of trespasses against us? You know, when we have the ideas in mind of doing God's will, it goes counter to those things that are practiced by the world at large. What did Moses say back there in Deuteronomy 5, the world at large does? They practice a way that is unrighteous in their conduct. It's not the right thing to do and the right way to be. And it's a sad thing that that's the case. But if you'll hear and you'll do these judgments and these statutes that I speak in your ear this day, you'll be the people that God would be pleased to have and be with him, and he'll bless you. He blessed them, and indeed he did in that day and time. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, would you come as we stand together and sing a word of encouragement for your coming forward?
I've wandered far away from God.
Now I'm coming
home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming.
God bless and keep you and all the virus situations. I hope they are free from your presence and where you be in activities of life. And we don't ask you to wear a mask here. We sometimes do wear a mask as we go along the way here. And we sit ourselves in a social distancing apart, and it's a good thing they tell us to do. And we honor that. But we still gather to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we trust that if you're around someone who's sick, that you quarantine yourself for the 10 days or the 12, 14 days or the 21 days that they suggest to do, and be there, be wise to do that sort of thing as you go through life. Hope that you can come back and be with us tonight at 6 o'clock when we continue this idea. It'll be on the internet, and as a result of being on the internet, you'll be able to hear it at any time of the week that you come to our site, CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. I know some of you have heard this before. Others may have not heard it before. They wanted us to have Crockett MS on the tag because it always comes to where we are. And so the one that they give for Crockett Church of Christ goes to Texas, because in Texas there's a county out in Texas that has Church of the Christ there by the number that are Church of the Christ in Crockett. And so they wanted us to have MS on it. And I thought, well, why not have MS on that? Our folks down in Belize that come to this site, oh, they enjoy very much the Crockett MS Church of Christ site, because they can hear us sing, they sing along with us every Sunday that they gather together. And they started their journey down the mountainside to get to where they could get on the internet yesterday afternoon. On Saturday afternoon, they walk and spend the night in the jungle, protected by various ones who guard them. And then they come on down and they listen to us sing songs here. It's a good thing to do. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you tonight. I will labor every day.
sick man, we pray for our country and for the people that are sick. We pray that you would bless us and keep us, and that you would give those leaders the knowledge and wisdom to know how to land and how to do the things that they should do in this time of pandemic. We pray that you would be with us and keep us safe, and that you would bless those who care for us and look after us. They too may make the decision that will be to the benefit of all. We pray that you will go with us now throughout this life and on this earth, and be with us throughout our life always. That we might be with you someday in heaven, if you have with us. Your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.